Good morning, everybody. You guys can coach me through this. I'm Chris Lloyd. For anybody that doesn't know, I'm the lead HazTech for Benton County, and I've been given the job of taking over the process for these meetings.
Okay.
So I guess we have to go over the minutes from last, or get those approved, right? So you
You need to get a motion. I read them a long time ago, and I think I would have said I have no comments. I can say with me.
Don't shock. I hope he read them.
They're about this long, so you're pretty safe. So I move to approve the minutes as they were presented to us via email. Second.
I approve. Okay, cool. So the only email that I received was I guess we'll go third, public comment. Public comment from anybody? Nobody? Okay.
Does everybody in the room know everybody?
Oh yeah, you guys usually, so all right, go ahead, I guess we'll go this way.
Cindy Blumel.
I'm Miguel Ramos. I'm with Hazardous Waste.
I'm Tony Searles, and I'm with Lamb Weston.
Tim Milbauer, City County Development for Chuck, is alternate.
Tammy Yeager with WM.
Rebecca Francis, Basin Disposal.
Okay. I'm Chris Lloyd, Benton County. Okay. Facility and Waste Event Update. So I have number four on my list. Facility, the ventilating is actually being put in very rapidly. Of course, we do have timelines that were set, so you know they're in between jobs to Apollo. So they've been coming kind of sporadically as of late, the last week and a half. But it is moving forward. We have both of our units there for the building. Still yet to be set. Main unit is on top of the building. We have a concrete pad, and we have a propane tank to install yet. So all in all, it looks like the end, you know, November, the end of this year is what we're looking at. You know, I can't put a guarantee stamp on that, but it sure looks that way if everything keeps going well installed.
When you say ventilation,
so
you're talking creature comfort and ventilation for chemicals.
This is actually ventilation that previously should have been installed on the inside walls of the building around the actual product. We have cans of product against the wall. I got to have ventilation to suck it out in case there's a leak. And that's what we've had to install.
Okay.
Do you at this point have a plan on the scope of this? So for instance, from my end, I'm hearing cities around the periphery saying we want oil collection locally. We want glass fluorescent tubes locally. Is that something you foresee will happen once this facility is done, or will you ask people to come directly to the facility?
Well, mainly because of staff, like, you know, it's a big deal. You had everybody calling in to get their stuff. Is that what you're asking me? Like, if you called me and said, if you had a bunch of stuff, can I come pick it up?
Right.
I think that would have to be later on. Right now, there's going to be three of us to start the actual operation. It will be a slow opening to make sure that we're doing it right. In certain circumstances, I think it would be probably the right thing to do. If somebody's elderly, handicapped, that type of thing, we're not picking up things like that. But you have to also understand there's people that are just lying because they're lazy. So, you know, you got to be careful of that.
What about product stewardship as far as your facility and product stewardship? Is that a partnership? Do you see product stewardship organizations bringing stuff to you?
So we're going to have a small quantity generator that will make an appointment with us because our facility isn't, you know, huge. We have to make sure that we can actually still accept stuff from the public and not just fill it up with small quantity generators. So that'll be a scheduling thing. It'll probably be on a Saturday, you know, and we'll go from there, see how that looks.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. This is Michelle. Are you guys going to be charging for the small quantity generators, or is it going to be free or by donation?
There might be a small charge depending on what it is, but as of right now, we're still kind of up in the air on that. So.
Okay. Yeah, and you can do it either way. Just you guys have to make sure that you're logging everything that comes in from small quantity, because that needs to be separated from household hazardous waste. Else with a reimbursement, or we can't reimburse at all. So
sure.
Presumably those are businesses, right?
Yeah.
Is it, I don't recall, is it in the solid waste plan or
so as far as which
or who pays, I mean, how this is ultimately funded, because I remember some discussions about there isn't a money tree somewhere.
Right. More than likely people are going to end up being charged to drop off their waste. I mean, if they're a small company, they can also get an EPA number and have somebody get it, you know, for them. So the first thing, unless it's like a school district, you know, the school district wants to come by, they have stuff, you know, that's kind of more what I'm expecting is the school districts, they call quite a bit about stuff they need to get rid of. So one of them is vape pens, one of them, you know, there's quite a few things that they have. So I guess we'll just see how it goes. You know, and we have some people coming in to help me make sure this thing goes pretty smooth.
I guess I'm just.
This is Martin from City Kennewick.
You know, not to put pressure on you, but I'd encourage you to look at some other facilities and what they're charging and not get in the hole from the get go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I've talked to like Stevens County, talked to Thurston County. We're talking about propane reharvesting so we can have our own propane. You know, we have a big propane tank that we got to fill, so do some propane reharvesting. We've got batteries. I got a contact where they just take the battery cores and send you a check when they're done. So we do have some money that will trickle in off certain products. And if you know any more, I'm sure I would love to have any advice that you can give.
Oh, there's someone hand up. Martin has his hand up.
Okay. Yes, Martin.
Yeah, just a clarifying statement. Yes, Tammy, you're correct. As we've discussed putting this facility together for the last however many years, it has been the intent that if small quantity generators were going to be included, that they would likely have to pay some or all of the cost. There may or may not be a staff fee. You guys will have to work through that. We'll have to decide whether that's appropriate or not. But definitely there's going to be a disposal amount. They would have to pay it themselves. And this is definitely a benefit that they don't have to ship it off themselves. So just want to make sure that's where we had come from when we were putting the project together.
One other thing is I think it's very important not to be the cheapest game in town.
Oh, sure.
And I'll give you a perfect example. If you want to recycle glass, you have to pay for it. And so people say, oh, I just take it to Richland. Well, that means every Richland citizen is subsidizing everybody who brings glass into their area without paying. And so that can lead to serious issues.
Well, flat glass is a totally different. Yeah.
But that's just
we're not even going to be dealing with glass. So.
Yakima has a flow control, an example. You can't. They've got the lowest garbage in town. You can only do it if you're in Yakima. But if you find the exceptions, then you can just take as much stuff and dump it as you want. So it's like pricing is important.
Sure.
If you want to protect your taxpayers.
Right. Anybody else?
So as we get closer, feel free to connect. I'd be happy to work with you and Martin.
Sure.
Just on getting the word out.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Anything you want to do, just let me know, because I'm learning this all too.
Yeah. We have the quarterly invoices. We also have the website. We have a Facebook page. So, but we're not going to do anything without you telling us it's okay. Just we don't want you flooded with.
Right.
Yeah, we're just waiting for ACT to review that flyer, and then we can email it out to everybody on the slide.
Okay. And I'm thinking more for the permanent.
Right.
Still an issue.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Moving on. I think Cindy, you
yeah.
had a message to me. A different form of messaging each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let me pass out this sheet. And you know what? I wasn't prepared for what six people on. You're not going to see the form, so sorry about that. Let's see. Is there anybody else? The guy I was thinking of was an experience that I had when I lived in Clickitat County, and they had a really kind of simple but very elegant countywide plan whereby once a year, probably in January, they got a piece of paper because it was one service for the whole county. And it told you everything that you could do. And it updated too, because when China stopped taking our plastic, that clearly was reflected in there, like, don't put your yogurt containers in here anymore. So that worked out really good. And I thought, well, I think we can do something similar. So I started generating this form with just basin disposal, waste management, and Ed's. I don't know exactly how that's connected, but as the three garbage companies in our county, and then the things that I can recycle, I know I put down, and then other stuff that I would like to. And then I got thinking, that's why I wrote Goodwill and DTG and those in light gray, like, we're not the company, or you guys aren't the company that would take care of that, but do we want to list that on our messaging? You know, give people the option. Do we want to leave it off because that's not what you deal with? And then all the things that would come up, but I just wrote down vape pens because I hadn't thought about that. And, you know, there's other items. So I was hoping that if you liked this format, we could use it. And then the people who are served by basin disposal, like for me, Prosser, would say, this is what we can do, because I think it's different for Prosser than it is good. Well, if we do the recycling, it's going to be different than other places. So every city or county would have a different message. So you give this information to the cities, they create their annual newsletter that includes how they're going to message to the customers, and it goes out once a year. That would be a great way to get the most amount of people to hear the correct message. The same thing that has been complaining to me just the other day, the basin disposal containers say the same thing for everybody. And I said, but that's not what we do. So you can't change the containers. I get that. But if you had the annual review paper that came out, then that would, I think, help with the main part of the messaging.
I actually am pushing for QR codes. So that we have just big QR codes and you click the city you're in and then you have a list.
So where is the QR code?
Well, we don't have them yet.
I just need
like hot
stamp. But I'm talking about a piece of paper that currently a piece of paper comes to my house monthly that talks about all sorts of city stuff, and the recycling would be in there.
Oh, I see.
And I'm thinking, Kennewick must do something.
We do. WM sends out an annual service guide.
Yeah, so it's kind of that idea. But I feel like for me, you know, I've been confused. And then I got just the other day, I was talking to somebody and she says she lives in the county, but she connects herself to Prosser a lot. And she said, where do I recycle? And I thought, I don't know. I read the plan. I don't know where you're supposed to recycle. But she's supposed to go, you know, there's no county place that she's supposed to go to, is there?
It depends on what she's recycling.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking of the cardboard and aluminum cans.
That's
and all things.
That's great. That should be Warm Rapids.
Well, she could come to Prosser.
Right.
I don't know what the answer is, but anyway, I thought there's...
Well, actually, that's not correct, because Prosser, the citizens of the city...
Right, are paying
pay to have a transfer station. And so if you start taking county waste without charging them, mm-hmm. then you will also be subsidizing all
right,
of the county
right.
they're recycling
right.
for free.
And so there isn't a county place.
Recycling isn't available everywhere.
Yeah. Even the basic cardboard aluminum cans.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, Met City, we're not made to recycle, but we have Ed's disposal.
Yeah.
So if you contact Ed's on I think they pick up on Wednesdays or Thursdays. We've done it several times. But, you know, they'll just come by and grab whatever you got on the side of the street. So that makes it pretty nice.
Well, that's if you're in our service district. So if
right,
you're bringing your recycling, you take it to the transfer station.
Well, she was talking, she was actually talking about somebody that lived in the county. And she's like, where do I recycle? Mm-hmm. So I was thinking if she
Oh, that's right. Benton City does have county. Right. That's right. I forgot.
If
you're right.
Oh, that's considered county?
She can go right to Ed's, yeah. Drop off anything. There's plastic. Okay. There's,
But there is a charge for county residents in Benton County.
In Benton City, we don't pay anything. We just show up and drop it off.
Okay.
No. Well, I mean, that's the way it's been. Okay. Yeah, because you put it on the side of the street and it goes away. So it must be a tax thing and not a like.
Oh, I'm thinking of your transfer station. I'm sorry.
No, that's the transfer station. It does all of Benton City also.
Okay.
Yeah. Its disposal comes by, you make an appointment with them and you have your couch or whatever out there and they go by, pick it up, take it away.
Oh, that's considered garbage. So I guess I'm confused between garbage and recycling. So if you have a thing of plastic jugs or aluminum cans or whatever.
Yep, you can go right there and drop it off. Okay. You do it every week. Saturday, every morning, my wife makes me.
It's an event.
So I, you know, I don't want to argue with it. I'm just like, you know, I live there, so I mean, I know they come pick it up for free.
I think it's always interesting to hear how people who are using the system experience it versus the people who are operating the system.
Right,
think it's working.
Well, because, you know, I hate to say it, but there's a thing called Google, and people don't use it. It's been around for over 25 years,
and it's wrong, and it's.
But the thing about it is, even it's if it's wrong, it shows you a place. It shows you a place that you can go.
With wrong hours, wrong times, and wrong material.
Okay, so who's in charge of
Google is in charge of that. You have to contact them and straighten it out.
And it's very hard to keep up
with. It is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, no, so I appreciate hearing what you're saying because the mayor of Benton City and I are talking tomorrow.
Okay.
We've had some snafus recently.
So go back to your QR codes. I mean, I'm suggesting that this is a messaging tool.
And so
and you're saying something a little different.
Well, I also agree that we need more robust base and personally needs more robust websites. And we are in the process of working on that. It just hasn't happened yet. But I also think that they have drop boxes in Pasco. So that's how my husband and I recycle. And invariably we get there and we have an argument over, can you put in those egg cartons? No, they are not cardboard. They're press, you know, paper. But it would be so nice to be able to just have a QR code and say, is this acceptable? Which bin do I
put you mean in? At the location?
At the location.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I'm going to write
because that. And then when I'm telling everybody you can't do pizza boxes, and then my good friend Tammy says, oh, now we can do them.
Yes.
You can flick those. I mean, you can put the information on the back end on the QR codes to change. Because I think that's one of the things that people really don't know about recycling is it changes all the time. Just because we told you that last week doesn't mean it's going to be true next month.
That's true. That's right. And you know, when I read the Prosser survey that, about recycling, I got the idea that people in town were saying, we like recycling and we want you to find a way to take the plastic. We want you to figure out how to do the glass. We want you to do this. And I thought, oh, the people think it's, and you're, I don't know about you, but you're, no, you're the consumer. If you can't find a place to throw your plastic, you should stop buying so much plastic. Right. But they don't, I mean, nobody wanted to tell them that.
So neither Tammy or I have the solution for plastic. But if we do, we're going to be really rich.
Well, same with glass. So,
That's the one right there.
But they were acting like, we'll tell the city we want to recycle this. They will solve the problem. And I'm like, no, they won't solve the problem. It actually comes down to the consumer, but we haven't been pushing it on them. They were pushing it on us, so.
Something needs to happen here before long.
Well, Tammy, what do you think about this?
I think it's fine. It's not, to me, it's a list to help create some some tools.
Yes, and I think it should be
specific. Richland should be added.
As their own,
the city has their own collection service.
And what? It's just called the City of Richland. Uh-huh. I didn't know that. Yeah. Did I know that? Should I take Ed's off, or we just make a new thing?
No, Ed's is out in Prosser and Benton City and in the county.
Okay.
And as far as this kind of list, we actually use one right now.
So I was just wondering how we could get this to people who want to fill it out and. Fill it out and get it back because I'm willing to work on creating finishing it out. I don't have to be that person. You could be that person. But then I just was thinking, you know, because I'm putting my fiber board with my cardboard because the fellow at the transfer station and processor said yes. He also said, oh, we don't want your white paper. I wasn't sure if that was right because I remember you saying you did want white paper, but I think he said we want it from the school district in a nice little box. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm throwing mine in, and it's a mess.
This is the dump? This is the garbage facility?
Transfer station and process.
Crazy. They don't. Apparently, they don't take anything.
Well, they may be high grading, right? So high grading.
They call. They send people to us all the time, and we're not even open. And then I look on their own personal website, and it says they take stuff that the people were asking about. So I don't know what's going on down there. Waste management.
See, we don't. We need to have this, and it needs to be correct, and it needs to be updated all the time.
Okay, and that's not waste management, just to be
space. Right. No, but I felt like the fellow at the transfer station knew what he was talking about and also may not know what he's talking about. But he knows the boots on the ground because he also, I said, I'm bringing my newspapers in a paper sack, and he said yes. And I could see that makes sense to me because if you just throw the newspapers in, again, another mess.
And it just depends on the system.
Yeah.
And who's sorting it, and are they bailing it, or are they running it through people and machines to sort it and then bail it and then send it? So it's not going to be as simple as check the box.
No, and that's why I think when you fill in some of these things, you would not just a check, you would write, yes, if, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I'm happy to fill it out and send it to whoever.
Well, we have a list that we use already. I can go down this list.
Do you want to be the person that
collates? Well, I can put what we use for some of this stuff, but you got to remember we're a hazardous household waste facility. We don't take all the stuff.
Yes, and I don't know if we got down here to the batteries, and because I've used the system, I took them to the last event that we had. But so I'm thinking, well, let's maybe take those things off because people know that there's an issue with that, and that could be handled through this. But maybe just the basics. Well, I'm still wondering what the basics are. Is that yogurt and sour cream or no?
No. So, Chris,
but people might still think it.
In your role, I guess we'll need some clarity because you're focused on hazardous waste, household hazardous waste, small quantity generator. Typically in other counties,
right,
the solid waste department, I know you don't have a big staff or whatever,
right,
but the county maybe would be a repository to and I haven't looked at your website lately, but I know there's information about different companies, right, but would you be taking on that piece or someone?
I can do it with the household stuff, the hazardous waste stuff. Yeah, I can do that. I'm not fully educated on everything that can go in a landfill.
That's no, I guess what I'm saying as far as, you know, the city of Kennewick, they link to WM's website because it's very specific to what we take in Kennewick. Prosser may link to wherever Prosser links to the county. I don't recall. Are you linking to everyone? Are you trying to provide general information? Are you trying to say where is the landfill and the transfer stations? Are you trying to say where do we drop off yard debris or nobody accepts it? Mm-hmm. I mean, what role is the county going to take? And it's not free to answer right now because mm-hmm. you're new in this role and you have the hazardous waste role. But I think that's kind of what we're needing is the haulers or the cities can provide the information, but it's to what end? Where what are we doing with it? What are we doing with this information? And then generically, if the county or health department or somebody is wanting some type of generic information, we'd have to pare down this recycling list to what everybody takes to avoid communication.
So why don't we just communicate on that and then I'll write something up.
Okay.
I don't think it'd be too tough. Yeah, because me and Mike, we've figured out, we've got quite a few places that we send people to drop off stuff. So,
hey, Martin, do you have anything to add? Do you know where I'm getting at here?
I'm tracking on what you guys are saying. I think this is great. One of the things that we have struggled to do as a SWAC is to get the resources updated and cross-link them. We've had links between Kennewick and the county and Kennewick and waste management, and the county's had some great resources in the past, and then at some point did kind of an update to this the website, and that's, it would be great if we kind of did an overhaul about where is the critical information that we think is current and correct, and how do we get our web links correct. I think this is a great time to do it. Mott Risk Wave facility is coming online, and I think it'd be good. And having a fresh look, there's a concept called Napoleon's Corporal. We can all, being subject matter experts, come up with links and ideas, but then, as you guys are talking about family and friends, people who are actually using the information or they're trying to find it from their own perspective, not having any special information or knowledge, when they go to try the links, I think that's really going to help us figure out whether we're pointing people to the right place so they can find it. I think this is great discussion. Go ahead.
Rebecca, this is Richard.
Yeah.
I'm jumping in there. Is there a difference between what basin disposal on Franklin's side of the river takes for recycle and Ed's disposal on our side the river takes?
Basin disposal does not take plastic, and Ed's does.
Okay. So that makes since basin basically Ed's refers back to Basin Disposal's website, that would pose a little bit of a difference. All right. I'm unfortunately going to have to leave because I'm in another meeting in Spokane. So I came the other way.
Yeah, wave to me on the way back.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Well, thanks. Is there anything I need to you need from me?
The only thing I would bring West up Richard? Is to one of the things I thought we were going to talk about is what are the key, like the three key things that folks want to get the word out on, it separate from this. And one of the things that is important to transfer stations and garbage trucks and recycling trucks is these e-batteries that are in everything, and the fires. And so that's a priority for us right now. So I just want to throw that out, Richard, because I know you spend a lot of time thinking about these things. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's a priority to me as well. And I think that's, as far as the SWAC goes, I think the SWAC should, rather than emphasize on what cardboard or non-cardboard we recycle is, let's make sure we capture those e-batteries so we don't burn up some garbage trucks or transfer stations. So I think that's something we need to put as a priority of how we're going to message that and how we're going to advertise it through all the communities. So what would be great from you guys to provide us with nice pictures of burned up garbage trucks or piles of smoldering garbage on the street that got dumped because there's a fire in it.
Is that doable?
I know. Why don't you send them over to me and I'll try and pull something together and work with, as something we can put out there on the social media, et cetera. Does that sound like a good?
I'll be allowed to send you burn up WM garbage trucks, but I can ask. It's just a blizzard. Our recycling facility that was just remodeled caught on fire. So now we're having to replace the equipment there, which was on back order to begin with. We've had a couple of truck fires. And then the Downtown Business Association called us 2 weeks ago asking about locks for containers because they're having challenges with different things like e-batteries are hard to dispose of things showing up in different business dumpsters. So that was kind of my contribution today of something as a community that we need to look at. So.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to go, so you have a great day.
Take care. Travels.
This smart facility was last month on a Friday at 3. Or no, it was at noon. And so scrambling when we have our trucks. To give you an idea, our trucks cannot keep things overnight. At the facility, we have to have fire watch. And for health reasons, we can't just be. So I spent a long weekend trying to figure out what to do with materials, which that's continuity of operations and, you know, people that set stuff out and expect it to go somewhere. So, yeah, that was recently. So kind of a bummer, but we kept going and bailed the material, got permission from the health district and all the agencies to store bales outside, which is not the norm because that facility is located by the airport, and permission from our hauling partners around the area to store bales there if we needed to. And we just got the facility back up and running. It's limping along and we're breaking the bales and now sorting so we can rebale in the process. So it's quite the effort, but it's all getting recycled. And I want everybody in this room to know there's nothing we collect that's recyclable, but it's all being recycled.
I guess one of the things, you know, you're talking about burn up fire trucks and pictures and stuff like that. When we were at one of the meetings, I can't remember which one, I think it was in Tacoma, they were talking to people that run big facilities. And they were saying how many people are out in their landfill within 7 years. And there was all but two in that meeting that actually raised their hand. And that was pretty wild.
We have 100 years at 3 facilities within.
Yeah, but that was actually at the meeting that I was at, and everybody was in that room, all but two. So, and everybody in that room that I was at, they said that they were running out of room within 7 years. And
then on the west side?
Yes, and then the two that were there, they had 100 years. So, you know, that's a good fear of God in people. You know, we're running out of room.
Well, we're not. That's not a message that we would put out there. That's why we're trucking, training, and other companies are barging to the large facilities that are all located in central Washington and eastern Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to echo what Tammy said. Anything Basin collects for recycling, we do recycle. And we send reports to our cities. We say, this is how much plastic we send. We said, this is how much paper, and this is how much it's going to cost you to process it. Because we charge for, well, we don't charge, but we ship to somebody who does do that sorting and then sell it. And so I think any time that we're talking about working with anyone who recycles, they should be providing verification that, yes, it really did get recycled.
Yes, I agree.
And so right now, just so you know, SMI, Strategic Materials Incorporated, has stopped taking glass.
It's a bankruptcy and restructuring.
I won't speak to their business, but WM, because of our size, has a relationship with them. We are looking at stockpiling for them in the Seattle area. That's still under discussion. But whoever they were taking to is who was having the challenges. So, anyone who's been taking glass, I don't know what they're going to do with it.
They're calling us and asking if we will stockpile it. The land, Leavenworth,
yeah,
or somebody else. And we're, you know, we cannot take the state's glass because we don't have those rooms.
And these are all the nonprofits, the small nonprofits that are, everyone wants glass to be recycled so badly, but if there's nowhere to take it, then it's not something that should be collected as a recyclable.
What happened to all that? And, you know, the kid, you pick up Pepsi and Coke bottles, and take them to the grocery store and get a penny or a nickel or something, and they reuse those.
It's a good business model. Somebody should do that.
There's a hand up on the screen.
I think it's hey, guys, Martin Nelson again. While Ecology is on the phone, it might be a good time to just farm this topic out to them and see if they have any updates on the state's been working to I guess look through materials, figure out what's recycled or reused. You know, there's recycling, there's reuse, and separately, we can try and reuse the container as is, or we can try and reprocess the material. There have been discussions about how do we, in the big picture, long-term, change how containers, what containers are made from and how recyclable they are and stuff. And I'm just wondering if, as China Sword happened and cities, counties, and businesses and the state started to shift, there was an effort made. And I was just wondering if we could get an update on where they're at with any of that.
Yeah, this is Michelle. So a couple things. So with the glass, the reason that they're in the situation they are is because RDAW over there in Seattle was taking, I've heard anywhere from 50 to 90% of strategic material, and they closed down. Now it's said to be a temporary closure for 3 months, but we're not thinking very positively. We are expecting that they're going to close out forever. And so then Strategic currently was stockpiling for them, trying to hold out and wait, but they ran out of room way quicker than they thought, which is why they've now stopped accepting glass. Right now, the glass market is not looking good for sure, which is super frustrating because it's been on an upward trend and we were having high hopes for glass, but yeah, they are struggling. The Glass Packaging Institute, who is funding the big recyclers, I don't know if you guys have heard about them, but they're in your area, and they have the hub and spoke models, and they are, sounds like, utilizing a different glass company, so they should be fine, but that's kind of what's going on with the glass. And then, yep.
So could I just interject in there? So big recyclers does not indicate their size. Big Recyclers is a small nonprofit who goes around to communities mm-hmm. and says, we will charge you a fee to look at your glass when you bring it in and make sure it's the right kind of glass. And then we ask Basin to keep it for us for free. Mm-hmm. And then Glass Institute pays to have it transported somewhere. So this is a volunteer group who's using donations and free labor to make this process work. It's a non-sustainable business model, but it was an effort to try to see if they could build a market. And I'm not saying they're not going to be able to do it, but I am saying that the minute you have SMI go down, which is where they were taking it, everything starts backing up. So just, it's more complicated. It's not as smooth as it sounds. Go ahead, Michelle.
Well, I wasn't trying to make it sound smooth, Rebecca. I honestly think the glass market's going to crash, and glass is going to be down. So we don't have high hopes for it at this point. It does not look good. So if you're stockpiling for them, you might want to start coming up with some other options because it is not looking good. And then as far as the just packaging in general, I'm not involved in that too much. I know we have a lot of discussions going on, but I haven't heard of any like outstanding progress that has happened, Martin. But we do have the Recycling Development Center who is in charge of kind of working with all of that and trying to figure out some better markets and better materials and better processes.
Michelle, I don't know if this is...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say glass is a topic, as Richard was talking about, that the e-waste, or very specifically, there's some specific battery chemistry that's not so good. And I know a lot of battery manufacturers are shifting, trying to find different materials to make different kinds of batteries, but is the state, I'm all up for, you know, the capitalistic model where people are more likely to buy a safer battery for their car or their home. But is there any direction or conversations or planning or discussions about what to do with batteries now? Or is there any push or direction, kind of like the fluorescent lamps?
Yeah, model? There is legislation in the works. It was in the works last year, but didn't make it very far. And it sounds like it will be pushed further this year in the legislative session, since it's a longer session. So we are expecting some type of, there was some EPR stuff out of it, but we are expecting some more EPR stuff for batteries in this session.
Michelle, I think this is a topic probably for our next meeting, but will you plan to talk to us a little bit about 2030, House Bill 2030 as well, since it has very strict deadlines for mandatory curbside organic and food waste collection, and we don't have any facilities here, and are those deadlines really going to stay firm, that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll invite Colin or Olivia. They're on our organics team, and I'll see if they can come along and help give a presentation on your next meeting. And if they can't, I will, but they're kind of the subject experts. And yeah, it is going to affect your area, could affect your area, I guess I should say. So we need to bring that up and discuss it for sure. Good idea.
Well, in Richland, I got a call from the consultant from Richland who's doing the study. I don't know if anyone else got asking, you know, what our volumes might be. And so,
yeah, that's part of a feasibility study we're doing for our facility there, is to see, finding down the road, if we're capable of becoming a regional facility or if we're just going to stay maybe just county or maybe just city. So we hired a consultant to come in to look at our processes, look at volumes. We do a waste characterization study to see how much organics are going into our landfill there. So we're looking into it, trying to plan forward, and then hopefully we can get into partnerships with the county and the region.
Walla Walla's SWAC, they are doing a new landfill plan, and if they need to put in a new pad for collecting organics and food waste, it's going to cost $16 million. And that's just for the pad. That doesn't count anything else. And that's just for their area. There, that's just for the Walla Walla area. It's not a regional thing.
Is that because it has to be a covered pad and has to have all the runoff stuff and
whatever the regulations are around collecting food waste? It has to do with the food waste piece.
That puts a whole kink in.
Speaking of recycling, I received an email from Ganesh at DTG. This was just yesterday, saying that they're going to stop their operations at the Kennewick location, which has been an exempt facility. They will stop accepting materials later this week and will direct customers to use their Richland facility, which is permitted. So that's the only DTG facility that will have in our two counties.
I'm sorry, this is Martin. I didn't hear. Yeah, please repeat that. Thank you.
Is this better?
Yeah, that's great. Well, I just need the name.
I'm just saying that the DTG Kennewick location.
Oh, okay. DTG, got it.
DTG in Kennewick, which has been exempt, meaning they weren't taking commingled recycling. They're closing that facility, and then they will have everything. All their operations be solely at the Richland location.
Do you know where the Kennewick location is or was?
It's near
Clayton Ward.
Ward West. Down by the railroad tracks.
Okay. Yeah, they bought the facilities. Do we know why they are closing?
We're emailing back and forth, and I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know what's going to become of that facility. I don't know how. I'm trying to ask, you know, how does that affect the plan of operations at Richland and how much they're taking on and so forth. So I will ask you that. I'm sorry. I will ask them, continuing to ask them more questions. If you guys have anything else you want to say about it, let me know.
Just depending on the flow, I don't know what all they were taking there. We used to take Kennewick's curbside single stream there. And then we reconfigured our transfer station, so that wasn't going there. But if there's a drop off of a bunch of things, it will likely impact all the transfer stations.
I would think so. That's why I'm sharing it. Yeah.
Okay.
They were taking electronics, glass, single stream recycling only. When people go there, they have to sort it out themselves at the boxes.
I've got it.
And then they were, bailing shredded paper, cardboard, those kinds of items, everything but
So I just want to point out at this table, we've talked about glass is crashing. We've talked about DTG bought this facility, I think, just a year ago, and now they're closing it. If recycling was really making people money, these would all be robust and expanding. So that's a hard message to sell to people that you can recycling, but it is going to cost you money, and it's not this great money-making market.
Yeah, Douglas County was just saying in their Slack that they had 24 tons of cardboard sent, and I think they got like $100 or $1,000 back. Or maybe it was 24,000. I think it was 24,000 pounds of cardboard went, and they only got $1,000 in reimbursement. So yeah, it does not make money, and that doesn't account any of their time, labor, transportation, nothing. That was just the material reimbursement.
The cardboard is one of the better materials,
right? Yeah, exactly.
With a better market.
I guess the challenge is that a lot of older folks grew up where you could sell materials and make money. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, or you exchanged milk bottles and wasn't life wonderful. I don't think there should be an issue with recycling costing money. It's about a matter of materials management and how do we message to customers. And it's super hard to change that concept
mentality.
It's all materials, and you have to either don't buy them, as Cindy was saying, or you have to pay to dispose of them in different ways, either through garbage, recycling, organics, whatever. And that's the hard pill for everybody to swallow publicly, because nobody understands how complicated solid waste management is until you sit here for an hour and talk about all these things.
Well, I don't mean to push my agenda, but I'm pushing my agenda. If we're going to go to this database and other programs that are having, if there's kind of a deadline, I think, of January to get the information this solid and get the information to the city so they can put it in their whatever's. And then I guess that this kind of information should end up being on the county website, because they don't have a piece of paper that tells them how much they owe for their water bill or their recycling.
And you're talking specific to Prosser and that newsletter, or which newsletter?
Well, I'm assuming everybody every city has some way to communicate with their citizens, don't they? Everybody's nodding. I'm hoping that's correct.
Okay, it's different ways, yeah.
Yeah. So that would be the information that we could provide either. And I don't know what the format might be, if we're going to actually provide the information like in a graphic, like a half page, and say, put this in your stuff, and they can put it on their website or wherever they decide to do it. But, or we do a piece of paper just for them. But it seems like we should coordinate somehow with them, but tell them that there's something coming in January and plan for it. So then we have a deadline we have to meet. So all I'm saying is we may need to have a subcommittee to finish this up.
If you need help, there's a nonprofit called the Recycling Partnership. It's national.
I think I went on there.
And you can use their graphics. So you don't have to recreate the wheel. They're very generic. So that might be something to look at.
And I think that we used to send out flyers every year to Prosser, but it was $15,000, and Prosser decided they wanted to cut that cost. And so,
well, they're currently doing it.
Are they still doing it?
They're doing a newsletter in the water bill.
They probably. Okay.
And then people can sign up for the email version of it.
There you go.
But you need to give it to the city and say, this is what we're doing. Maybe it does need to be. If we just went down to the things that we think, like the first six items or seven items, you know.
Well, we used to send out a glossy thing like
this. I don't think we need to do that much. If you ever just were saying, maybe, I guess we can't take pizza boxes, but, you know, cereal boxes are here and cardboard is here and aluminum, yes, no glass, no plastic. So, I mean, those things need to be clearly communicated, because it's not clear. To us, I don't know about other cities, because everybody's got their own issues.
Right. Thank you. Working on it.
Okay. And then anybody else have any things? Okay. So number six was discuss 2025 SWAC meeting dates. So
So currently, the SWAC meeting is every quarter. So as it is right now, we're meeting now. We meet in December and then not again until March. But in your bylaws, it says at your January meeting is when you elect the chair and vice chair and secretary. So you need to discuss if you need to switch your meetings starting January and then every quarter. So you would have a meeting in December and then again in January to get it right on the right track to follow your bylaws.
Could we change the bylaws to say the first meeting of the year instead of January?
That would make sense.
There's a copy of the bylaws up there, I think.
Well, also December's not the best month to meet.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I make a motion that we change the bylaw. And you say that. What is it?
First meeting.
Let's see. I make a motion that we will elect the chair, the vice chair, and the secretary at the first meeting of the year. Of each year, because it's a one-year term.
Okay.
Because this says, so this is not part of the motion. The election year and term of the chair will begin at the first meeting in January of each year. Mm-hmm. If we just say the election year and the term of the chair will begin at the first meeting of each year, we're good. So I guess I amend my motion to strike the word January from the amendment clause, or from the clause that's currently in there.
And is
the bylaws.
Yes. The bylaw. And everybody on this list can vote? Is that how this works?
Yeah, the top member is the actual SWAC member, so an official member to second.
The alternates can vote if the other is not here, right?
I'll second that then.
Okay, so we have a motion, we have a second. Any discussion? Do you see any problem with this? I'm with Tammy.
My only concern, Rebecca, would be that you guys just finalized your plan and the bylaws are part of the plan. But I don't think it will be an issue because it's a very small thing and you really could change your whole bylaws, I would feel like, but I will find out on my end if there's anything we need to do. It would be small and it would go by your guys' revision versus amendment information that you put in your plan. So it could be just a small little change or it could just be something we redline in that doesn't need to be officially changed until later in the plan portion of it, but I will get back to you on that. But that's my only concern.
Thank you, Michelle. Isn't there something in those plans about ability to revise or
keep up to date?
Yes.
Keep up to date or adapt?
Do we? Yes, and that comes up to you guys. You guys made that on what the revision or amendment process looks like and whether you feel it's necessary. So it still comes down to you guys deciding that, but I'm supposed to advise you on which way, and I'm just not exactly positive right at the moment, but I don't feel like it's an issue, but I just wanted to throw that out there that it is in your plan as is. It's just something we need to take into account.
So could we vote on it subject to approval with Ecology through our plan? Or, I mean, do we need to make a little more to this amendment? Do we vote? That's what
I'm asking. I think you can still vote to do it. Just maybe you'll look into the amendment issues within a plan.
Because the last meeting we voted on we're not following the bylaws. Don't listen to this, Michelle. We're not following what it says we're going to do any.
Right.
So I think it's more important we show up and have people participate.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, whether it's the first meeting in January or the first meeting in February, it's still the first meeting. So, I mean, I really don't think anyone would ever cause issue with it. They're like, hey, you're only having it in February and you're voting now? Oh, wait. Or are you going to have it in December? What month were you going to do it in?
December.
No, it says January.
No, it'd be March.
It'd be March.
Oh, you mean the next meeting.
Oh, you're going to go till March.
3 months.
Okay. The last meeting.
Yeah.
changed, if we met every 2 months instead of every 3 months,
yeah,
and changed it from, increased it slightly from 4 to 6 meetings a year to meet more frequently and stay more up to date, would that be beneficial for folks? Because every 3 months is quite a, it's like 6 months if you miss a single meeting. Also that if we met in September, November, January, that would put us on track to meet starting in January.
It's the same thing. We changed the plan that's already with them, but yeah. I like that idea personally a little better. I don't see what, but then I'm more free than you guys. I don't have a job, but meeting every other month, I think we could be more productive.
Either way, just to have it, I don't know if that's in the bylaws.
It would be a bigger time. Change.
We're allowed to meet more often.
Yeah. or in the plan. Either way, it's a cost to make it.
True.
Well, she's and then looking it would at still it. Be, if we're allowed to make that change, whatever the first meeting of the year is, then that's when we make those
changes. Yeah, so you can go through with this vote and then look at the next meeting, changing it.
It will put us in January. Not meeting in January, so every other month, but not in December.
Yeah, so you can start 2025 meeting every other month.
It might be a good idea just what you're saying because of all the new legislation coming out and mandates and things.
We don't see anything in the bylaws that say how often we will meet.
It just says at least one meeting each quarter.
At least.
Okay.
So we could technically
have to. Okay. But that don't need a vote to change it. So you could go forward with the amendment, which would change us December meeting.
To November.
November.
Yeah.
In January. So I wouldn't think November. You'd even need to have it because it will end up being in January, the right. January meeting.
Yeah.
That's
true.
I like
you just call the next meeting November.
I like that plan.
Then I withdraw my motion.
And we're meeting in
January.
We
don't have to change the bylaws.
Yeah.
Okay. I will jump. Take some tea. Are there any other items we need to discuss? So our next meeting is when?
Second
December.
In November.
If we have a few months, then it will be November.
It's every 3 months for the rest of 2024. Yeah. We can meet in December.
And then
depending on when we want to switch from
the day would be the 13th of November.
It's my birthday. Bring a cake.
Okay. I was going to say, do we prefer to meet in November versus December?
Yeah.
I think so too. Okay, so the next member, it's the 13th of November.
Mm-hmm.
Tammy's birthday.
Yeah.
When?
But the cake has to be on fiberboard and no plastic cover.
There are no flies in November. You're good. Sorry if I missed this, but what is the status of the solid waste management plan? The in approval being, is it approved? Is it allowed to be shared publicly?
Michelle? Yeah, so that is in my hands right now, and I have 45 days to do the review and then get it back to you guys, but I have the final draft. It is final. It has been adopted by all of the cities, so it is your final draft, but it's very rare that I ever have to make any changes because it would be so difficult if I had to say, hey, you need to change this. So it's basically final, but I mean, if you want to share it, you can, but it is still pending Ecology's final approval.
Thank you, Michelle.
Remind me of the
process,
Michelle. So there was an open public comment period, right? And then
You guys had an open comment period.
We fix things based on your comments, and then all the cities approved it and the county. And now you're just making sure that we did due diligence. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big fan of the way they have the process, but the process is the process. So I have to review afterwards and hope that you made all of the changes that were requested, but any that were required have to be changed. And those are usually very minimal, if none.
Okay.
Most are just recommended changes because the laws are pretty broad and gray in most areas. So we can't require you to do a lot of different things. So as long as there wasn't anything required, it's, you know, there's not much I can do. But if there were required elements and I get it for final review and those weren't taken care of, I can deny the plan. It would go back to you and you'd have to make those changes, go back out for a readoption to everybody. So anytime there's required, I always try to keep in touch with the consultant or with the team and just be like, hey, let's see those changes. You know, I just want to make sure it's good. But I don't think you guys had anything that was required that I can recall at this moment.
And the grant funds would be at risk if we didn't meet the requirements. Is that right?
I mean, yeah, could. Yeah.
Once it's finalized, do we have a plan as to which websites it goes on and how we get up the word out that for people to be aware of the updated plan?
I'm gonna be, well, I think you're gonna be that, but I think
yeah,
I'm gonna, yeah, that's okay. I'm gonna get a bunch of different places to drop off recycling materials and downloads, so we'll have direction.
And include the information of the updated plan.
Do you anticipate a lot of people are going to read it?
One, two, three, go. We'd love that.
About 15 people.
But I was like, we have an updated plan and have
yes.
People know.
We are doing something. We're meeting one more time a quarter, so that was good.
It seems like a link on the county site and then maybe the health district site, and the rest of us can just
and the cities.
Link to that.
Like,
yeah.
Like okay. The cities as well. I was on the city digital website yesterday, and they have the 2011 one.
But, oh,
you know, so there's a place for it, you know, and you can put the news down and that's ready to go. So all the cities would be good as well.
Let's just update our list.
Yeah, I'll make sure it's at MHD.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to say thanks for Prosser letting me know we've got some issues there.
I need to talk to you about our transfer station.
Okay. And
thanks for
anything else for the good of the
home and Chris for
I'm trying. I'm trying my best. I'm trying to figure all this out as best as I can.
Speaking for Richard, it's nice to have county staff and support.
But give me time. We'll get it figured out.
Okay.
Yeah. Get it figured out.
Maybe adjourned? Yeah. Did you discuss the item you wanted? Oh, I think it kind of came about organically. I had asked that one of the things that we had talked about, I think Martin had suggested, what is our next education communication plan? And I wanted to do a roundtable, but I think that all kind of happened as we went, so I think we've covered it.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We also
have
a
sign-in sheet.
December 31st of next year.
It's easier to say. I know I was a teacher. People don't read.
The best thing
ever. Say, this is what we do, and this is what we don't.
Yeah, marvelous.
So,
but I'm assuming we have to do that with the contracts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.